From the people who brought you three Toy Story Midway Manias and three Soarin's comes two Bay Lake Towers. Fantasmic at Disneyland is adding Pirates of the Caribbean. Meanwhile, Jungle Book Alive with Magic is adding the movie Lights Out. We're trying to match people up in the dating game, trying to match people up on the internet because there aren't apps for that or anything. You've read WW News Today. Now you'll listen to WW News Tonight. Episode. We've done 25 of these now, Nick.
Happy silver anniversary.
WW News Tonight for the 25th time. I'm Tom Corliss. You're still not. That's Nick LoCicero in there.
I brought you presents. Isn't Diecast the 25th year thing?
We got the Luigi's Rollickin' Roadster cars. You got me the set of five.
We're going to be rollicking all over the place. By the way, happy birthday, Tom.
It was your birthday. It was my birthday Sunday.
Yeah. We celebrated in fine fashion. No.
We did. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
And what did we just eat? I see why. Jason doesn't have access to control the show. It might be helpful for the person in the control booth. Jason Diffendahl in the control booth, as always. Now, I forgot to unlock the door.
Let me in finally. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Jason, you can show yourself. Know you exist.
Okay.
It's okay. Here.
There's Jason.
Let's
show Nick. Let's show everyone that Nick still exists.
Everyone. How you doing tonight?
His handsome face.
There you go. Right there. Handsome face.
There you go. All right. Well,
that's enough, Nick.
Yeah.
Get that over there.
And now the news brought to you by TeePublic. So let's get on with the news, shall we? According to Jim Hill, Stitch's Great Escape will be removed in favor of a VR racing game Wreck-It Ralph attraction based on Sugar Rush. And no, we're not talking about the after effects of the kitchen sink. If the rumor is to be believed, the two theaters inside Stitch's Great Escape would be gutted, as opposed to the people who loved Alien Encounter who were gutted years ago. By the way, Mug of the Week.
Mug of the Week's a good one.
It is an Alien Encounter mug.
Color changing.
And apparently, if I put hot coffee in here, the alien would break out.
That is awesome.
Well, those of you watching video at least saw that. But anyway. So again, this is being done to make room for a number of simulator-based racing carts, which guests could board wearing virtual reality headsets that would transport them into the video game world of Wreck-It Ralph. I don't think anyone else in Orlando is developing anything similar to that. Guests may even get to design their cars in the pre-show area, similar to Test Track, without any actual purpose.
Oh, boy.
The investment would make sense, with a sequel to Wreck-It Ralph on the way in 2018 and the box office for the original film being quite strong. Also, Stitch's Great Escape has been one of the least popular attractions in Disney history, often testing negatively with guests who experience it. Even Nick LoCicero.
What?
You hear that? Even Nick LoCicero doesn't like Stitch's Great Escape, believe it or not.
Well, there's parts of it.
The project, of course, will be part of a larger overhaul of Tomorrowland expected over the next few years, leading into the 50th anniversary of the Magic Kingdom, which would be in 2021, still likely before the opening of Pandora, the World of Avatar. So someone last week didn't understand why you do that, like why we play that song. So the song is I'm Blue.
Mm-hmm.
Avatar, the people of Pandora are the Na'vi, blue people.
Yes.
So that's why we play.
Now, why Nick dances?
That's,
we don't know. The music.
Why Nick single? That we do know. this plan, of course, could include a e-ticket attraction the likes of the Tron Light Cycle Power Run from Shanghai Disneyland. Tomorrowland, as you know, has recently undergone a number of cosmetic upgrades, including the repainting of Walt Disney's Carousel of Progress, the currently ongoing entrance area rockwork, and Jim at Space Ranger Spin got a haircut last week.
What?
So, number of cosmetic upgrades. All that could just be the beginning of a larger Tomorrowland overhaul. So, there you go. While Caribbean Beach Resort will likely be the next Disney Vacation Club addition to Walt Disney World, supposedly Disney is already looking ahead to expanding the DVC presence at the Contemporary with another Bay Lake Tower type wing. It's called the Villas at the Cast parking lot.
That's a good name.
I'm joking. While still a few years off, early design has begun on the new tower of the resort, the exact location of the new wing in flux, but it sounds like it'll be the former site, what was the planned site, I should say, of Disney's Persian Resort, which was planned in the 1970s. The Persian Resort site, of course, seems more likely than the convention center site. However, Jim Hill thinks it'll be located in Disney's Night Kingdom. So, I lost video. But anyway. Now I'm back, apparently. You put me back up there, Jason. There we go. Fun. Separately, the convention center is set to be removed in the coming years in favor of an expanded convention center at the Yacht and Beach Club Resort so more pin traders can fit through the doors. You couldn't even let me get to the joke. Like, let me get to it. Nick. Come on. While the building at Contemporary, the new building, would have a very different look from the existing Bay Lake Tower, it should have a similar height and size to that of the first edition in 2008. But it could be a little smaller since it will now have the benefit of knowing the calorie counts in meals at Walt Disney World.
That's so stupid.
This show is the dumbest.
This is the worst.
This is the dumbest show.
No, it's one of the worst shows
ever invented.
Ever on the show.
Yeah. The new hotel.
Very funny.
Everybody
though.
Wants to leave now, I would understand. The new hotel wing would boast better views of the Magic Kingdom than Bay Lake Tower if constructed, as it would be even closer to the park. Rumor has it the price point for this new wing would be much higher than even Bay Lake Tower, rivaling and surpassing the Polynesian Village Resort DVC editions and the Disney After Hours event.
Be more than that?
Yep.
It's unfathomable.
Again, this project not formally announced by Disney. It is in the design phase at this point. It could be about 5 years out, but regardless, it sounds like it's going to happen. So there you go. When Fantasmic returns to Disneyland in the summer of 2017, the Pirates of the Caribbean will be joining the crew in what should be an entirely reimagined version of the show, internally being referred to as Fantasmic 2.0. Mm-hmm. And what Disneyland annual pass holders are calling the worst thing since Frozen Live at the Hyperion. When Fantasmic returns to Disneyland Park, guests will find a number of upgrades to the show on the technical side. A brand new HD projection system, lighting upgrades, and a completely new sound system are expected. Also, ground towels will be installed for pass holders to hold their space for the show. You don't get it.
I don't know why.
You've been to Disneyland. You should understand they're crazy.
I don't see that.
They put their towels down at like 9 in the morning and they sit there.
Like beach towels? Hand towels?
Yeah, beach towels. No, not hand towels. Like the pin traders, Nick, I don't think a hand towel is going to be large enough.
Oh, man.
In addition, the show will be sporting a few new segments, including one for Pirates of the Caribbean, which would replace the Peter Pan segment, which is an original in the show. Using projection mapping technology, the plan will be to turn the sailing ship Columbia into the Black Pearl. The ship will host a large fight between Jack Sparrow's crew and that of Captain Barbossa, who are, of course, arguing about Star Wars in Disneyland. The Columbia will be re-rigged for the all-new stunts featuring Jack Sparrow and his pirate friends. The truly amazing part, if true, is that projection mapping technology will follow the ship around the river, also projecting onto performers on the boat. This effect would allow performers to change in appearance, jumping between a skeleton and human form, just like in Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of the Black Pearl. This effect can also happen to guests if they eat at Red Rocket's Pizza Place. Other new segments are expected to replace some of the older ones when the show returns next year, but we have no solid information on that at this time. The new Fantasmic 2.0 is expected to run nightly starting early summer 2017, at least through the end of 2018. It'll be a non-seasonal offering for a little while, which is interesting. Not something Disneyland will typically do, but there you go. Pretty exciting.
All right, yeah, I'm all for it.
I know a lot of the Disneyland people are very, very upset about it. But,
I'm all for upgrades, changes.
Of course, Nick loves everything.
Projection mapping, new stuff.
On Friday, August 19th, the Walt Disney World Resort and Disneyland Resort will celebrate the first ever hashtag Disney Photo Pass Day. A one-day celebration that will feature a special one-day offering. How many times are you going to say one day? Offerings and experiences for guests, unlike limited time magic. Enjoy special character experiences of the Magic Kingdom in Epcot, where Photo Pass photographers will capture your encounter with Pinocchio, Gideon, and Foulfellow in Storybook Circus from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. You know, before the smelly locals get off work.
No.
All right, fine.
That's it.
At Epcot, okay. A friend or foe will join some of your favorite Disney characters in World Showcase. Mushu with Mulan in China, Snow White and Dopey in Germany, the Queen of Hearts with Alice in the United Kingdom, and Lou Mangiello joined by Becky Mankin of Mouse Fan Travel. She's the ultimate villain. You can check the My Disney Experience app or the Epcot Times Guide on August 19th for the character schedule.
Excited for photos.
Yeah.
Be good.
There will be one location at all four parks and Disney Springs where guests and the two at Disneyland Resort, for that matter, where a PhotoPass photographer can capture your special moment, and then you can find those for free on the app as part of the celebration. By the way, that's $149 less than Disney After Hours. Complete a photo pass challenge at any of the four parks of Walt Disney World and Disneyland to get a photo pass for free. Also, all you need to do is get your photo taken by a photographer at each of the designated challenge locations on Friday. And once you've stopped at all the locations, you can visit a photo pass sales center to claim your photo. At Walt Disney World, you'll get a voucher for a digital download. At Disneyland, you'll receive a 5x7 print. Once again, Disneyland spending more than us. Damn them.
Well, I guess they have the option for downloads, right? So
they do,
no,
but they're giving out prints.
Yeah.
Challenge locations will be posted on Wednesday. I guess they're posted today on the PhotoPass Facebook page. Disney Today announced Yesteryears is coming to the Disney Parks online store tomorrow. The collection was inspired by a shop with the same name once found at downtown Disney Pleasure Island when it first opened, but of course removed and replaced by a Latin restaurant. During the next 3 months, you'll find limited release apparel inspired by classic attraction locations that were replaced with unimaginable garbage. Jason, I don't think we have these pulled up, so you'll have to check out WDWNT.com to see these shirts. They'll be available August 18th through the 25th at DisneyStore.com/park events. The first shirt, of course, celebrates Dreamfinder and Figment. It's based on the original shirt sold in the 1980s and now currently used as a rag to dry the tears of fanboys. There's also a Raglan with artwork from the Walt Disney World Preview Center. The center, of course, was open from January 10th, 1970 until September of 71. At the location, guests could learn about the project firsthand through displays and models and drawings, as well as a short film about why everything should be Guardians of the Galaxy.
The original, they knew. Wow.
Bob Chapek was there. The original preview, he was the first, you didn't know he was the first ambassador.
Okay.
He wasn't. The original preview center building can still be found on Hotel Plaza Boulevard. Finally, you can seize the future with XS Tech. Yes, that's right. Alien Encounter. Yeah. Alien Encounter is going to have a shirt. The classic Tomorrowland attraction was open, of course, from 1995 until 2003, housed in the Tomorrowland Interplanetary Convention Center with the Laboratory of XS Tech, a corporation from the distant planet. There we go. There's the shirt. You can see it. Planet intent on demonstrating its interplanetary transportation apparatus. But the demonstration was marred with difficulties, and an alien creature was accidentally teleported into a park meant for small children. So, additional apparel from the Yesteryears collection will be released over the next 3 months. So excited! An Alien Encounter shirt.
Oh, look!
Not that Preview Center one's not cool, but I'm not my style. But I think everybody's going to be buying that Dreamfinder.
Oh my goodness!
So cool.
Yeah, this is scary. This is scary because there's going to be some money spent in this a new collection.
Next 3 months, you have 3 months worth of shirts to buy.
It's three a month for 3 months.
They say it's going to be a couple of shirts over 3 months.
Mm.
So yeah.
All right.
Where are we here? All right,
Steven Tyler.
Yes. Have you ever noticed that Steven Tyler's hand in the Rock and Roller Coaster pre-show kind of looks like something that could be considered an obscene hand gesture?
Mm-hmm.
For the sake of younger viewers, I'm going to refrain from showing any imagery of the hand gesture or what it might be.
Don't want to offend.
But if you've been on the attraction before, you've probably either heard the story of it or I guess, Jason, you could pull up the actual picture of the pre-show for people. So after 17 years, for some reason, Disney decided, hey, we're going to digitally remove this. So that's what's happened. So there's the original, those of you watching the video stream, the original where he's doing what could be considered an obscene hand gesture or just someone raising their arm. It does seem kind of odd, though. 17 years later, they digitally removed this from the park. It is now gone. You can check out the video at WDWNT.com. So, yeah.
Crazy rock and rollers.
It's gone.
That's good. It does look interesting the way they took it out of there.
Oh, there's the video. Jason's got the video up for everybody.
They did a good job. I mean, it's kind of slow motion, paused it. Can't really tell.
Yeah, there you go. But it's again, not the clearest video. We actually have a clear video we're uploading tonight. But yeah, there you can actually see the all four fingers.
Yeah,
that sounds so much dirtier than anything else I said in the segment. You can see all four fingers stretched out,
right?
Which would probably be more painful.
Looks
but anyway,
odd.
I digress. Tough room.
So, I had to explain that to a friend last night.
What, Nick? There's an awful glare. Yeah. I can't see you in the other room.
Lights are bright in there. Yeah. It was an awkward discussion with a friend last night when she asked what that was.
And no one ever responded to you, right? You had to explain them what it was.
I explained what it was.
But you explained it, let's be honest, you explained it in the way Steven Tyler would. You gave... Probably. That description, which isn't exactly the nicest way to say it.
How would you explain it? That's less graphic.
No, that's how I would explain it, but I don't really get easily offended.
A couple fingers here,
probably learn from.
Here.
All right, Nick, that's enough.
Going on.
Let's move on, shall we? A new style of Magic Band could be in development. A new post on the FCC shows pictures of a prototype Magic Band puck that would, in theory, fit into an interchangeable strap or other items. This would allow guests to simply keep the puck and interchange different straps or accessories to their pleasing, because as we all know, guests are very good at holding onto small things.
I don't understand this.
The change would decrease pricing in custom on-demand straps, because obviously you'd have to buy just a strap and not a full Magic Band. This would also mean Disney would have to buy less devices with RFID chips, but still put them in every cup at a resort counter service location. This would also better control the number of linked ticket media each guest has on their account. So, Nick... Obviously, I'm sure you've been on your account. You probably have a fair amount of Magic Band and tickets and things.
Yeah, like
17,
18.
So you probably have like this giant list of things on there.
Right.
So they want to try and get rid of that.
Okay, so it's
so
be
by
one
giving
thing.
You this puck, you can put this puck into a keychain, into a Magic Band, maybe into a watch, into all these different things.
Okay, I can buy that. I can buy that. So then I don't have to worry about linking a new one every single time.
Correct. Until the battery dies.
Right.
Which is about 2 years, roughly.
Okay.
My first Magic Bands are starting to die now. There's Jason with a bunch of Magic Bands. My first Magic Bands, the long distance thing, is dead.
Really?
Yeah.
You know that.
I know, because it doesn't read anywhere, but if I bring one of my newer ones, it works.
Huh.
So my Destination D, which was 2 years ago, is dead.
Wow. Okay.
Long distance. I can still get into the park and scan up... I could do touch points with it, but I can't.
Will that eventually go too if the battery completely dies?
Maybe. Jason would know. Jason, do those eventually go, the touch point ones?
I think the close range ones don't require the battery. So I think the touch point ones will work forever.
Yeah.
It's the long range ones that require the battery.
Okay. Wow. I'd have to think they might still send the annual pass holders like a new one every time you renew, maybe. Or they just...
I think the new thing is they're going to ask if you have one already.
Right, but if they only last 2 years...
Well, after 2 years, you might just have to contact them and be like, hey, this is dead.
Yeah. All right. You know, like...
I don't know. Again, this isn't a thing that's definitely...
No. But I kind of like that idea. I don't like having the link over and over and over again.
I like just having the bands, but if it's causing problems for them, I can understand why they want to, you know...
Well, because then, is it still true you can only have a certain amount active? I think 10 active or something like that?
I have more than 10 active.
Well, I mean, I've had to remove some to add new ones.
I have not.
You've never had to do
all
that?
All of my Magic Bands work. I wear different ones every week.
Well, okay. I do too, but I
more
I
than 10. They
unlink them
work.
And link them like seasonally.
Nope. They just work.
Weird. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway. Disney this week shared a look at concept art for the new enhanced interior of the Wedding Pavilion, nestled on the shores of the Seven Seas Lagoon, of course, between the Grand Floridian and the Polynesian. We would talk more about this, but neither Nick or I are ever getting married, so might as well. Not even
wow.
bother. Let's not even bother.
Wow.
stupid. On September 14, 2016, the Sum of All Thrills and Stormstruck exhibits inside Innoventions will close. Innoventions West exhibits, of course, closed last year already and became meet and greet space. This closure in East will leave just Colortopia, which will now be remember that, kids? Disney has stated they will make an announcement about the future of the Innoventions space at a later date, likely before the opening of Pandora, the World of Avatar. Oh. That was abrupt. Just pretend. All right. Of course, all signs point to a massive overhaul of Future World coming in the years to come.
Well, dance very well.
And that's why no replacement exhibits have been added or announced at this time. There you go. Starting last week and running through August 27th, the Elena of Avalor Royal Welcome is presented daily at Cinderella Castle. The massive PR department showcase will be presented at 9:05, 10 a.m., 12:20 p.m., and 1:35 p.m. And will be very similar to the ceremony presented last week on the Disney Parks blog. Princess Elena of Avalor meet and greet is still scheduled to be added at the Magic Kingdom as soon as they can find something with an exit gift shop. They'll let us know about it. But anyway, Nick, that's the news. Who brings us the news? And they're having a sale, by the way. The sale is on right now.
Yeah, the news is brought to you by TeePublic. Don't forget to go shopping for your latest apparel and accessories for Disney fans through WWNT.com and TeePublic. Head over to our site, click on the TeePublic link, and shop from hundreds of designs for t-shirts, phone cases, prints, and more, including our exclusive...
Someday my prints will come.
Exclusive designs, WDW News Today logo apparel, and custom creations like Tom Corliss Mean Tweets.
There it is,
March
you can
Tragic,
see it in the video.
And the latest release celebrating the Big Thunder Mountain Railroad and the 9th anniversary of WDW News Today. It's a great shirt, and I'm not going to give it away, but I heard some teases of some great, great designs that are on the way.
There is one coming very soon, probably the most asked for shirt. I'm not going to give it away, but if you listen to the show, you probably already know what we're talking about.
In development.
It is in development. But right now, there is the sale going on right now, the next 2 days. Those shirts right now are only $14. They're really great quality shirts. I wear them all the time. I'll be completely honest with you. They're really fantastic. There's also the website that must not be named. Love that one. California Bears up there, the quesadilla bird. And even if you just like this show or WDW News Today, there's the logo stuff there too, so... be sure to check that out. $14 right now, but any of those shirts, even the ones that we didn't design, anything that's in that store, which, Jason, if you go to the last page, there's some really cool Star Wars Epcot Center crossover shirts that are on there right now. I believe they're on the last page. I didn't get a chance to move them up yet. I also love that Sir Hiss.
Oh, look at that.
There's the Pokey. I love the Pokey Center one.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
That's Epcot Center, but also...
Oh, look at the mountains one.
Down a little further, there's... Oh, maybe they're not. They're somewhere in there. There are some like Imperial Insignia Epcot Center shirts and stuff. You really got to go through all the pages. There's some great stuff there.
There is. I like the Mountain Climber one.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous.
Look at that Mickey and Walt. It's so ridiculous. There's a Pudge the Fish. Jason, scroll down real quick. I want to find this shirt now, real quick. Let's see if we find it. Is it there? Oh, mm-hmm. Wait. Scroll. Hold on. My favorite shirt ever. Go back up.
Wow. Favorite.
There's
ever.
A shirt. Keep going. It's the small world looking one. Up a little more. There it is. The Ooh. Middle. In the middle. I am a huge Jaws fan.
Stop it.
This shirt is It's a Small Boat.
Wow.
And it's all the characters from Jaws. And it's really just amazing. But again, you really got to go through. There's some really fantastic stuff in there. They're on sale right now. Go through the link at WDWNT.com, please, because that's how WDWNT gets money. You make things possible. We're able to do things. The more money that comes in, the more fun new projects we can embark on, which we have a number of them that are actually starting up right now on YouTube and things like that. So Please support us by shopping with us through TeePublic.
All right. And so do that over at WDWNT.com, of course. And we'll be back. We have, of course, crazy comments of the week. A dating game coming up in the second hour of tonight's show. And lots more. We're doing an Imagineering segment.
Imagineer that tonight. Yeah. We're going to try and come up with a better Wreck-It Ralph attraction than Disney is coming up with.
Can that be done? You'll find out on WDW News tonight.
Welcome back to WDW News Tonight, the only radio show in the world about Disney parks. We are live, of course, tonight on AM 1520 WBZW in Orlando, our radio home. We're live at listen.wdwnt.com. We're live on YouTube, and we're live on WDWNT, the app, which you should download because it's a wonderful way to tune into the show, to visit the site, all those things. Nick, you, there's chicken in front of me.
Yeah, there is. I had to prepare food for our next segment.
Yeah, we'll get to that. But we're doing that next?
Aren't we?
Are we angry about things?
You angry about something?
I am angry about something.
Because you brought the food, so okay.
I did, but I just wanted to comment that there's chicken here and people should stay tuned to find out why
and
what Disney-related reason we can have to have chicken in front of us.
No one can see me.
No one can see you, no.
All right, here we go.
I have access to the entire curse word library. This new console is done.
It's a damn poor mind indeed. Can't think of at least two ways to spell a word.
No privacy. It's all around this place.
I don't like Sam.
I don't like change.
It was bad.
It was awful.
I was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.
Boo.
Tom, what are you angry about?
So when I posted the Wreck-It Ralph story yesterday, I was like, yeah, this is awesome. We're finally going to get rid of Stitch's Great Escape, it sounds like. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, finally revenge for Alien Encounter. Yay. But then I realized something. There's someone still there. There's someone still in that building who I love very much, and his name is Skippy. What will happen to Skippy? Where will Skippy go? We have to find a new home for Skippy. Of course, Skippy, I have a lovely one-bedroom apartment here in Orlando. I would love to share with you. But I would rather Skippy have a home somewhere at Disney World. I'm somewhat concerned. Skippy obviously wouldn't fit anywhere in a Wreck-It Ralph attraction, but I'm angry that Skippy could be homeless.
That is sad.
I love Skippy. Skippy is one of my all-time, probably second to Figment and Dreamfinder, favorite theme park character ever.
He'll go somewhere. You'll find him. You'll be reunited
someday. Because you know what
someday.
We can't say to Skippy? We can't say, bon voyage! Nick, what are you in?
You know, I don't think I am. I think I had a very peaceful week.
On.
I am trying. I'm trying. I just didn't get angry this week. I had a very... Did I get angry at anything on Sunday? I don't think so.
Did you really not?
I don't think so. I think I had a good time celebrating Tom's birthday.
Okay.
I think it was very peaceful. Nothing irritated me.
Wow. We're really killing this angry segment. We forget to do it.
I'll have to come up with some anger. I'm sure I'm angry about something.
Next week, I expect you to be furious.
I will. Oh, I probably will be. Okay. I have more desire to get into our next segment, though, Tom.
All right. Let's do that.
Okay, crackpots. Let's get cooking.
Now, before we get into the strange chicken kebabs that are in front of us that have something to do with Disney, let's talk about Sunday. Sunday, I invited you to my birthday dinner, which I decided I would have at Frontera Cocina. The reason I chose Frontera Cocina was I sat about a month ago. I sat and I thought, hey, my birthday's coming up. I'm actually going to be here, not at Disneyland or anywhere. So what dessert at Disney World do I want more than any other one?
And it all came down to dessert, huh?
It did, because I thought it's my birthday. I want a good dessert. I'm going to treat myself to a dessert. Because I've been doing well. I'm down a shirt size. I was able to go to the outlets and buy a size smaller shirt. I'm doing okay.
Wow, nice.
Yeah, I'm doing pretty well.
Very good.
So
proud of you there.
Thank you. Not a huge amount, but enough to go down to shirts.
Going to do a Run Disney race now?
I'm thinking about it. We'll see. So yeah, I'll be one of those douchey people.
Yes.
Anyway, Run douchey. Am I allowed to say that on the air?
Sure.
Okay.
A little late now.
So, Frontera Cocina has that
better
pecan.
Than doing that gesture on your head you keep doing.
The peak. What, this one? Has a pecan pie brownie thing, which I've talked about on the show, which I think is the greatest dessert I've ever had in my entire life. So I decided, on top of that, I really like a lot of the appetizers. I like a lot of the drinks. I like the entrees. So I decided that's where I was wanted to go for my birthday. So a bunch of us went. Nick was there.
Yep.
Nick, I talked up the restaurant quite a bit. I got the atomic guacamole, which I told you I enjoyed, which I know you also like spicy things.
That was insane.
You thought it was great also.
So good.
Yeah.
So good. Their guacamole is really good, apparently, to start things off. So that's yeah. And then I guess it's a habanero salsa or something like that.
It is atomic salsa, which they sell.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I do like Frontera salsas. They actually jar them and sell them in grocery stores. I've never seen one called Atomic. Maybe that's a little too hot for what they were selling.
You can
in the
get
store.
It at the front desk.
I might have to, because it was really good. And if you like hot, it definitely did something to the taste buds there.
You didn't like your entree was kind of lackluster, though. I was surprised.
So I got one of the tortas.
Which is a sandwich.
Yeah, it's a Mexican sandwich. It's basically like a Cuban pressed sandwich to me. That's what it really seemed like. And the description on the menu, do you manage to have the menu in front of you?
No,
it was the it was the one with it was the one with short rib.
The Pepito torta.
Yeah, it was the one with short rib. And the description had all this stuff in there, like pickled jalapenos.
Arugula.
They did have the arugula in it. I don't know. It just seemed like it was going to be better than it was. Yeah. It was tasty, but it was pretty fatty, first of all. But the meat that was there was really good. But the taste, it just seemed like a lot of slop inside the sandwich. It didn't seem like it held together very well. I could see where it could taste good, but for lack of a better way of putting it, it was just kind of like a lot of mush inside the sandwich. And I know you said you've had good experience with that before.
Yeah, Josh ordered that last time. I really liked it.
But I will say this. It seemed so different than the description on the menu that when other people at our table got the wrong order, I thought maybe I did too. And then you kind of looked at it and said, no, that's it, you know.
In fairness, though, I let you try a couple pieces of the carnitas.
Oh, my goodness.
Phenomenal, right?
Out of this world. The seasoning on that thing was phenomenal. I will also say the drinks were really good. I had the Frontera Old Fashioned, and I was very happy with that. And I had one of the margaritas, what was it called? The spicy one.
Oh, the Play with Fire.
The Play with Fire. Excellent.
Yeah, I love that one. Excellent. I got one, too.
Yeah.
And then dessert. So I talked up this dessert.
You did.
A lot going in, and I was like, Nick, you need to try some.
You did?
What do you think?
Well, so is this basically this pecan pie brownie? What do they call it? Just pecan pie?
It's a pecan pie. I forget if what word they
surprise
use.
Surprise or something?
No, it's like a descriptive word.
Okay. Well, it came out. And this thing did not disappoint. This thing packs a lot of punch for this little thing. It's you know,
not a little thing. It's a big serving.
It's good for two people. Yeah. It's good for two people. So you got this chocolate brownie that's just out of this world, first of all. And then it's covered in the pecans, and then the scoop of ice cream on top.
And there's pecan in the brownie.
Pecan in the brownie. It was one of the best desserts I've ever had. I don't know if I'm willing to call it my best ever, but it was up there. I mean, this was phenomenal. The quality and it throughout this little brownie was amazing. And the ice cream. The ice cream was good vanilla ice cream. So, I mean, yes.
It's a special, special dessert.
Yes.
Yeah. We will be back.
You were very upset because we left a little untapped. Someone else ordered it, too, and they left a little untapped.
They left some, and I was like, I already ate, most of one for my birthday. I'm not going to eat half of another one, but how dare you leave the best dessert ever unfinished. But anyway, Nick, our food's getting cold. So, Nick, the reason why we have this is because you got a care package today from California.
Yes, my friend Zoe.
Yes, who's on Jedi Hero Princess
She's
podcast.
Princess. Yeah. She is a princess. She's
she,
the one I
she will often be
shocker to the
Nick.
Thing
Nick.
Sorry, family friendly show.
You're worried about me saying another word.
Family friendly show. That's not a bad word in and of
Ronald
itself.
Reagan is standing right here. Look how upset she is. How upset he is. He can't believe it.
She's the one that had to describe Steven Tyler's wonderful hand gesture too.
Yeah.
That wasn't fun. But she sends me stuff from California every now and then. She goes out and gets stuff for us, and she got Tom the diecast cars, and she got me this.
They are selling the Flo's barbecue sauce in little what would you call that? Like oil canister?
Yeah, an oil plastic oil jug. And the cool thing about it, so you got this, and it's Flo's mole-flavored BBQ sauce.
Isn't it mole?
Mole, is it?
I don't
know. Sure.
Does anyone know?
Direct from Flo's Cafe has the cool thing. On the back, it's great. It says, great on piston rings, dipsticks, and baked paint chips. More smiles.
I think those are probably other obscene hand gestures we can't mention here on the show.
So we're gonna try some. I'm gonna open this up. I'm gonna bring some in to you.
All right, bring some in here. We're gonna live pour the Flo's barbecue sauce onto this chicken. Nick, did you make this chicken? Is this like homemade? Nick, because Nick is an excellent cook. I think we've talked about this on the show before. Nick is a very good cook.
I wish it was, but it's not.
No, this is like out of a package.
Yeah.
Oh.
I had to be quick about it.
Okay, so here we go. I'm going to pour some of this on here. There we go. All right. How is it? Is it good?
Yeah, it's pretty tasty barbecue. Okay, sauce. Okay.
It does taste just like the sauce there. I was curious if they just bought from a distributor.
I like it a lot.
With my mouth open on the air, that's good.
No, it has a lot of good flavor to it.
I was curious if they just ordered from someone like a generic barbecue sauce and said, hey, it's Flo's barbecue sauce. But this actually really tastes like the sauce they use. I think this is legitimately the sauce they use at Flo's.
I like it. It's not too sweet. It actually has a little bit of kick to it. Like, you can taste that in there. And
it's good.
Yeah.
I like it.
It's a good flavored sauce. There's some ingredients in there that were interesting. You have the thing there. I don't know. They had maybe peppers or something like that they put in there. Chocolate. I think chocolate was one flavor.
Chocolate?
No.
Vinegar, sugar, tomato paste, water, molasses, modified food starch, salt, onion, garlic, caramel.
Caramel, maybe that's
maltodextrin, yeast extract, natural flavor, propylene glycol alginate.
Oh, I love that.
Sunflower oil, cola syrup, which is normal for your southern style sauces. Water, onion, ancho peppers,
yeah.
Guajillo peppers, tomatoes, compound chocolate.
Yeah, there you go.
Huh.
And the peppers, I like
canola
having the peppers
oil,
in there.
Garlic, cinnamon, black pepper, salt, cloves.
Mm.
Wow. Okay, so should we take a commercial break so we can finish eating?
Probably
is
so.
I don't want to eat in front of people in the air. But no, this is good. It is a little expensive. This is like $11.
It is,
but it's a decent amount.
There's a cool souvenir when you're done.
But yeah, that's true. It's a cool display piece if you collect cars stuff. But anyway, Nick, when we come back. Connor Przycki is going to be joining us for the first edition of Now That's Entertainment. And also we'll take a trip to the wonderful world of psychotic comments. In an hour or two, the dating game is back. So stick with us. Welcome back to WDW News Tonight. Connor Przycki, many of you may know, still works with us here at WWNT, but used to be in charge of Disneyland News Today for a long time. And Connor has a vested interest in entertainment at the Disney theme park. So Connor said, Tom, I want to come on the show and do several rants about things I'm upset with in entertainment. And I said, yes, anytime we could have someone angrily rant about entertainment, I'm on board. You may remember Jason went on a 45-minute tirade about World of Color Celebrate, and everyone seemed to love that. So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show, Connor Przycki.
What's up, guys? All right, so, not so rant, Tom. Feel free to hop in, or even Nick, feel free to hop in whenever you want.
What are we talking about tonight?
Tonight we're talking about video projection. Video use in entertainment, and generally a little bit in attractions, anything like that. So video has been around in Disneyland, of course, for many years. You know, back to Mission to Mars, which was just a glorified theater that used weird shaped screens to, you know, show you these weird videos. Up into the 80s in Epcot, where we got, you know, those laserphonic fantasy laser images, which were technically projections. They were not quite video yet, but, you know, kind of that, they were still kind of showcasing technology at that point.
And all the illuminations, they had that big sphere, and the laser would shoot onto the sphere.
That's right. Yeah. So all that was kind of like the very beginning of projection, of projections in the parks. Of course, we've gotten things like Muppet Vision 3D, which I'm not really going to talk about. That's kind of on the attraction side. So, but what I'm going to talk about is kind of what came with Fantasmic in the 90s, of course. When Fantasmic opened, that was kind of the first time we actually saw something like video projection come into a live entertainment show. Mm-hmm. Of course, it was kind of seamlessly as it integrates into today's show. It's kind of, you can go in and out of video no problem. There's certain like stopping points. You can kind of say like, all right, we're going into the live entertainment part. Now we're going to stop and go and watch a little bit of projections. All right, miss screen down. Now we're going to move on to the live entertainment again. It was really like a big step forward in kind of showing what video can do in a show. And in the industry in general in the 90s, that's when video was starting to pick up in the themed entertainment industry. So it was really cool to kind of see that. And there are a few points in Fantasmic where they kind of integrate the video along with the live action on stage, and nothing like that was really done before, because film was expensive, and film was hard to do, and it was hard to do consistently over again and again and
never
again.
Never mind on a water screen.
And yeah, exactly, yeah. Where wind could, you know, make the picture and you can't even see it. So
correct me if I'm wrong, though, with Fantasmic, the cool thing is they used it, it served a real function, because they didn't have anything to show. They had to do something while the performers were getting on and off the stage, basically. They had to do something between acts that didn't require people, basically. So they had to come up with something. So it really, not only did it fill something in the show that needed to be filled, but it did it in a really innovative way.
Right. And I think the projections for Fantasmic originally go back to the original show idea, which was the stage show kind of on the castle, but kind of happens on top of the castle. They would do projections on the castle, which we're going to talk about in a little bit. Mm. But you know, that didn't really work out, and that's why we got the miscreants that we know today. So projections, other than that, Fantasmic was really like the only show for a while that really did anything like that. It wasn't until like the Magic Memories in You in 2010. Well, that was 2010, right? I think. I don't even
somewhere
remember.
Around
I should have done research. Magic Memories in You.
Research. Don't be ridiculous.
So that was kind of like another showcase. I'm not really like laserphonic fantasy, but kind of showcasing the technology, showing what it can do. Mm-hmm. And I think it was really spectacular seeing, you know, of course, I'm here on the Disneyland side, so I saw the Small World facade come to life every night with these cool pictures, kind of just cool visuals, kind of just not really any content that's like any that means anything. But just cool images, like the facade taking off into the sky like a rocket as Buzz Lightyear jumps.
Which in Florida, we had the castle turret take off, which was...
Right, which is way cooler than Small World, and I will admit. But it just again, it was a cool-looking show. It had a cool score. It was all right. And then, I guess, kind of... Yeah, I'm trying to remember. Did World of Color come first, or did Magic Memories and You come first? I can't even remember.
World of Color was before Magic Memories and You.
World of Color was 2009.
Was June 2010. I believe Magic Memories U was 2011.
Yeah, and I think World of Color is where we're kind of hitting our climax here. It's where we're hitting kind of, like, they finally figured out how we can...
Although it's a show that's mostly, almost completely projection.
Right, and I think it's, to this day, the only one that's been done well. And because it can flawlessly go into the video and go out of it like that, and you don't even notice it. Like, it can move, it can do so many things with the video that you can't do on Fantasmic. Like, Fantasmic, you can see the stopping points of the video. It's like, all right, we're stopping, like I said, we're stopping, we're going to the cast. Or World of Color, just the way the show works, the video is such an integral part to it that it's like you don't even know it's a video. You're kind of just like, you're just in it. So that's kind of like where I think video was like at the strongest. Some years later, we get shows like Disneyland Forever, Shanghai Ignite the Dream, and Celebrate the Magic. And I think this is where we start taking our turn down. This is where stuff starts getting a little weird.
I like Celebrate the Magic, but it's not really meant to be anything more than projections.
Yeah, I didn't mean to categorize Celebrate the Magic into that group. Okay, let me talk about just Forever for right now.
I think you mean Star Wars: A Galactic Spectacular.
And, yeah, in that thing. Yeah, So first off, Disneyland Forever, which is a show, of course, that was for the 60th Disneyland, for the 60th anniversary of Disneyland. Overall, it was an all right show, but I've talked to many people here on what their opinions are on the show, and mostly 90% of the time they say, "I just don't know what I'm looking. I don't know what to look at most of the time. There's so much going on with the video down the streets, the video on the castle.
There's so few perfect viewpoints in that show.
There is no one.
Like, I had to watch it several different places just to get the idea of what was happening. Like, with Jason, we stood in front of the castle, which was fine, but then I felt like the night I went and stood, like, between the castle and Matterhorn was great because you saw the Matterhorn, and then I felt like I had to stand on Main Street to get that desired effect. Like, there wasn't really one place where I was like, this is it.
Right, and then when they actually came out with the show, and they said, you're going to want to come back night after night because you're going to want to see it with a different perspective. But I think that what that did in the end was kind of just like, it just like it was an overload. It's like, oh, what am I looking at? What am I looking at? There's a video of you. Oh, there's Walt's face on you know, Penny Arcade over there. Oh, back onto the castle. It just kind of made things really confusing. Yeah. The show overall was really well, but just like all the video, all the content going on kind of made things very confusing. And I don't think the video helped the show at all. It was just kind of happening there, and that's my big problem with World of Color Celebrate. Well, my problem with like everything in Celebrate, not just the video, is that it was just stuff was just happening. There wasn't any flow, there wasn't any like general like movement of like storyline or anything. It was just stuff like colors were going in your face. It was really loud. Yeah. That's kind of what happened forever, and I think that's why it was kind of like a meh show. Ignite the Dream, I think, is a step. For those who don't know, Shanghai Disneyland premiered with their fireworks show, Ignite the Dream, which isn't really a fireworks show. It's more of like a kind of a mix between World of Color and a fireworks show as we know it today, like in a Magic Kingdom park.
It's like Magic Memories in You and World of Color and the Paris low-level fireworks shows had an illegitimate child.
Yeah. I completely forgot about Disney Dreams and all this. Yeah, right.
Disney Dreams is, I think, the only fireworks show version of these things that has worked out so far.
Yeah, I believe that too, but I think that's because it really hugs close to World of Color and how it kind of goes forth with its theme. Like,
World of Color very closely. I think that's not a coincidence.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, so, and I think Back to Dream and Disney Dreams did do a pretty good job at, you know, kind of just making a spectacle and not really trying to focus like, oh, look at this cool video stuff we're doing over here, and then over here, it kind of just focused on doing a good show, and I think that's what makes good shows, not pointless video projections.
What do you think of Star Wars? I want to talk about the Star Wars show.
So I saw the original Star Wars show, before the projections I saw it, and I loved it. That show was incredible. Like, just the fireworks were choreographed beautifully to the music. I haven't seen the new show in person. I've seen video, and I'm kind of meh again. I'm kind of disappointed. Again, they're relying too much on video projection. While there is one part I do want to talk about specifically, though, and that is the hologram sort of deal.
The smoke.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. Nick is smiling and giggling in there because he loves
it. They're using projection for something that's not just like, oh, look what we can do with video. They're actually using it. That's really something that's cool, and it makes sense, and it's awesome. That's
Star Wars Galactic Spectacular has moments of glory. There are real, true moments of glory, but there are some moments where it just feels clip show, and that's a problem, I think.
Right.
But I want to take a couple of comments in the chat I want to take real quick. Someone said, I also think the art and different mediums used on the screens in World of Color made it so special and made it work. That's a good point. That was a big thing in that show where there were segments that weren't just animated, but there was all these different art styles and things.
Yeah, like the paper sculpture and stuff.
Yeah. Another one, someone said, I think I've been thinking about projections too. My opinion is they should enhance the show, not be the show.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think that's what Connor's saying. I think that's the main point to take away from this, really.
I'm done.
You're done. You're good. All right. What are you going to rant about next time?
I think I'm going to talk about music and parades. Maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
We'll see.
Maybe if you write something up, I know I talked to you about this. We'll do a YouTube video with a history of projections in nighttime entertainment. Maybe we can come up with that, and we'll get that going before your next segment. Yeah, we'll do that. Connor, thank you very much, sir. We'll have you back to rant about that next time.
Of course.
Nick, do we have time for Psychotic?
Well, we have a couple minutes here. Yeah, we could go over some of our psychotic comments.
Let's visit the wonderful world of psychotic comments.
All right. We do have some good ones here. Let's start off with the comment that I don't know what this guy's thinking here. Vipes wrote in, backlot is gone. Many dead ends at various points at Hollywood Studios now. Assuming they are prepping for Star Wars Land? Good observation there, Vibes. Yes, they are planning for new things there. I don't know why he jumped in with that one. I like Howard's comment on Disney's Main Street Electrical Parade concluding at the Magic Kingdom. He wrote in, the Main Street Electrical Parade is the best parade in the parade. Fair enough. You got me there. Matt in the Hat wrote into the... these vintage t-shirts coming online. A lot of Live Disney fans, Live Disney fanboys thinking the same thing. Too bad. I am sure they will not be available in 3XL.
Oh well.
Have to continue buying bootleg shirts. let's see. Paul C. writing into the Wreck-It Ralph rumor. Just getting rid of the sixth attraction and having an empty air conditioning room would be an improvement. let's see what else we got here. WDW fan wrote into the Magic Band story. Wrote that he hopes that the Magic Band counts your steps, how far you walk in a day, and has a calorie counter on it as well. That way, if I walk a lot, I know I could get an ice cream or cinnamon bun from Gaston and obviously erase all his good work there. Let's see. We got, obviously a Steven Tyler one. A lot of live references. Kim wrote in, my fault. I should have stopped reading there. My curiosity kept me reading. Now I can't unread that because you read someone's description of what it is. Let's see. Jones wrote in, horrible times we live in. A rock and roll singer doing an obscene gesture. What's next? Porn on the internet? And then our friend Gabe wrote in, let's be honest, the real shocker here is how long it's been retained.
By the way,
Aerosmith theming.
I've been hit by Ronald Reagan twice now.
I've seen that.
Yeah, it fell twice now.
All right.
Mr. Reagan, the actor, please stay up there.
All right, well, that'll do it for the first hour of WDW News tonight.
That's the dating.
Why?
Well, I mean, that's coming up in hour two.
That's coming up in hour two. What is going on there? All right, so we'll see you in a couple of minutes. You're listening to WDW News tonight.
Welcome to hour number two of WDW News Tonight. We are live on AM 1520 WBZW. What did you do?
Put my hand in barbecue sauce.
We're live on AM 50. I don't know how, but we're live on a real radio station. AM 1520 WBZW in Orlando. We're live at listen.wdwnt.com, on YouTube, and on WDWNT, the app. Thank you for joining us tonight. A special night, our 25th episode, and we're celebrating with one of our more psychotic ideas, the dating game, coming up in just a few minutes.
Craziness.
Nick, next week's show, August 24th, we're going to be celebrating the return of one of our favorite games, the Disney Parks Pursuit.
Yes, people love that one. Yes, so we'll have a pre-sign-up probably for some people for that.
Yes, that's on next week's show. That's all we've got for next week so far, but we'll figure the rest out.
Figure it out as we go. That's what we do.
But Nick, who brings us WDW News tonight each and every week?
Tom, that would be, of course, WWNT, the app, apparently.
No.
You're
ahead. This page.
Right there, man. I was wondering where you went, magical travel. Come back to me. I need to book a vacation. And the only place that you should go to book your next Walt Disney World vacation is Magical Travel, because they're the best. So you can head over there. And right now, if you're planning a trip to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or even aboard the Disney Cruise Line, which I still have to do, maybe I'll call Magical Travel later on. And they can make that trip very magical for you. Right now, you can enjoy a 4-day, 4-night stay in a standard room at a select Disney All-Star Resort with one park per day Magic Your Way base tickets for just $1,850. Book now through August 31st, 2016, for stays most Sunday through Thursday nights from August 1st through November the 5th. The number of rooms available for this offer is limited, so make sure to act fast. For more information on this offer and many more, visit magicaltravel.com and book your next trip today.
Yes. So someone asked, we do have a Who Hates Tom later in the hour.
See lots more comments.
Coming up next, it's going to be the dating game. We are going to try and match, make a Disney rainbow connection, if you will, and send two people on a date. We're going to see if we can do it this time. It's going to be psychotic, and it's going to be next. And also still coming up this hour, we have that Imagineer that. Wreck-It Ralph attraction better than a VR racing car simulator. So we'll figure all that. And Who Hates Me? I'm sure lots of people do. We'll find out later in the hour when we come back on WW News Tonight. The theme park capital of the world in color. Color? What is this, a PCA show? From Orlando, the theme park capital of the world, it's WWNT, the dating game. And here's your host, it's me, Tom Gorlis, because we don't have an announcer anymore. Anyway, all right. Whatever. Why does it just says to improvise here? I'm not good at improvising. We're going to introduce our contestants in just a moment on this, our second edition of the dating game. But first, we have a sponsor who brings us the dating game, and I'm going to tell you about that. Are your Disney collectibles feeling a bit lonely these days? Well, Theme Park Connection is more than just a leader in theme park memorabilia. Think of them as the ultimate matchmaker for you and that special item that's missing from the collectible display case of your heart. Theme Park Connection has the items that will cause love at first sight. Visit them at their incredible Orlando retail location near the Florida Mall or online at themeparkconnection.com. All right, we're going to go ahead now and introduce our bachelor to the bachelors first, right? Bachelors? Bachelors first. All right. The three bachelors. Suitor number one is an e-commerce associate living in Orlando, Florida. Please welcome David.
Hey, how's it going?
David, how's it going? Tell us, do we get a little bit from them, or we have to find out through the game? No.
We'll do that in a moment.
We'll do that in a moment, all right. I'm sorry, we didn't rehearse this at all. Surprise.
No, it's fine. Sounds good.
Suitor number two is a university administrator living in Orlando, Florida. Please welcome Ryan.
Hey, how's it going?
And suitor number three is a radio producer living in Mount Dora, Florida. Please welcome Nick.
Surprise.
Okay, Nick, yes. Never heard from you before. All right, good luck to our three bachelors. Surprise, everybody. Good luck to our three bachelors, of course. We'll find out more about them as we play our game. That is the lady's job through her questions she's going to be asking, of course. But we've kept our young lady from hearing these bachelor introductions. We're going to bring her on now. She's a Walt Disney World cast member from Orlando, Florida. Please welcome Mary.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Mary. Thank you for being a part of our little experiment. I'm joking. Thank you for being a part of the game.
Oh.
We know it takes a lot of bravery to be a part of this, and we appreciate it.
Yeah.
But hopefully this will pay off. We're hoping we can do some good for you here tonight.
I hope so, too.
So let's can we get to know you a little better? When you go to Walt Disney World, what do you like to do at Disney World?
I like to do everything. I go to the parks. I ride rides. I eat. I go to the resorts. Lots of fun stuff.
Sounds like everything. Why did you sign up for WDWNT the dating game? This is always our first question of anyone who signs up for it, but why?
Honestly, it was a whim, and I'm single, and I just wanted to try something new.
Okay, well, this is definitely going to be very new, I assure you. All right, so we're going to now have our three bachelors say hello to you, so you can find out how they sound because you didn't hear the introductions, right, Nick?
She couldn't hear. I did hear.
She did hear. Good job. So, bachelor number one, go ahead and say hi to Mary.
Hey, Mary, how's it going?
Hi, David. Good.
Jeez, what's the name? Oh, bachelor number two.
Hi, Mary. Hope you're having a great night.
Aw, thank you. Ryan.
Killing me. Bachelor number three, who's I have no feelings towards whatsoever. Bachelor number three, say hello.
Well, you know, I can't believe I ended up here. It was a great, great journey, and I'm excited to know you better, Mary.
Aw, me too.
All right. So the way this is going to work is the game's going to continue. Mary, you're going to ask a question, and we're going to go contestant by contestant through the suitors, and they're going to give you their answers. So that way, in the end, you can decide who you thought gave you the answers that best fit you and the person you would most want to go out on a date with. And that's what we're going for here. So, Mary, you've got your list of questions ready, right?
Yeah,
okay.
I'm ready.
So let's go ahead, Mary. Give us the first question, and the first person who's going to answer that, it's going to be suitor number one. We're going to go.
Okay, ready? Number one, if you could delete a country from the World Showcase, what would it be and why?
Oh, that's a good question. I would say France, because it doesn't do anything for me.
Bachelor number two?
I would have to say Morocco. No attraction there. They got some good food, but no attraction right now, so I'll go with Morocco.
Okay.
I might take Ryan on a date. Bachelor number three.
I'm going to go with Canada. No more off-kilter. Loses some points there. It's probably the least offensive answer. Any other one might get someone in trouble. And I could see Martin Short on the big screen anywhere.
Oh, that's good. I like it.
All right, okay. that's number one. So, Mary, go ahead to your second question.
Okay, number two. I like to book fast passes for the attractions, but sometimes you still have to wait. What would you do to keep us entertained in the queue line?
Let's start with bachelor number two. Number two, Ryan. Since we know the names at this point. Why not?
CP stories.
Oh, good. I'm pretty sure there was enough.
Good.
This is Ryan. So I would say definitely just, having a good conversation, talking about what we do, talk about some other busy rides, and planning the rest of our fast passes for the rest of the day. Make some dining reservations, too.
Okay.
Bachelor number three.
That's me. It depends on the attraction. I might have to tease you a little bit if you bring me to, attraction like Stitch or something like that. But, hopefully we're having a good time and we could, talk about the great day we're having and, what we're doing next.
And bachelor number one, sorry, I things were confusing, but bachelor David, number one.
Oh, I don't even know if you heard my answer before.
No, we didn't, because we were trying to go to number... We were switching up the order.
Gotcha. I would probably give you any knowledge I know about the ride, but it probably wouldn't be that much. So I think that in itself would be entertaining to you. Time would fly at that point.
Okay.
All right, Mary, your third question.
Okay. If you could take me to watch any show on Walt Disney World property, what would it be and why?
Let's start with Bachelor 3.
Well, I think maybe it's the end of our wonderful day at Disney, and of course I'd take you over to Illuminations where we could enjoy the view on the World Showcase Lagoon, have a few drinks, and talk about what kind of great day we had as we're waiting for the big fireworks display and end the night with a bang.
Okay.
Bachelor number one.
I'd probably want to post up somewhere on Boardwalk and just watch people drink the beach water.
Okay.
All right. Bachelor number... I don't know. I'm losing,
by the way,
losing control of this program.
Fireworks bang, not anything else.
What is...
Okay, okay.
That's what you meant, right?
None of that tonight.
Who are we on? Number two. Bachelor number two, please bring some sanity back.
So I'd have to go continue that nighttime theme, go with Fantasmic, enjoy a nice Mickey Premium Bar, and watch the good show, and hopefully no one falls off the boat this time.
No one falls off the boat. All right, Mary, please continue the game with your next question.
Okay. What Future World Pavilion best fits your personality?
Let's go back to bachelor number one. Future World Pavilion, the best fits your personality.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. Does Mission Space count as a pavilion?
It does.
Yes, I would say Mission Space.
Why?
Because I'm fast and I've been known to be a heartbreaker on occasion.
All right, Bachelor. Jeez, this is never going to air. Bachelor number two.
So I have to go with the Imagination Pavilion. It's a lot of fun. You can see lots of wonder out there. So definitely Imagination for me. And Figment's there, so you can't hate on Figment.
Have you been poorly refurbished twice?
Yeah.
Okay. Bachelor number three.
I'd have to go with the land because sometimes I like just a nice, easy going time, like a nice living with the land boat ride. Sometimes I like a soaring adventure.
Okay.
All right, Mary, go ahead to your next question.
Okay. Do you prefer magic bands or old school paper fast passes?
Magic bands or fast passes? Bachelor number two.
Oh, definitely magic bands. They're stylish and they make it a lot easier to get into the park. So I'd definitely go magic bands.
Three?
Definitely magic bands because, you know, I'm kind of a sucker for, you know, customizing them and all kinds of. You can't do that with fast passes. So, you know, how can I have an Olaf fast pass? Can't do that. So definitely the magic bands because you get them in so many cool designs and I like to collect things.
And Bachelor number one.
I have to say tickets because I'm thinking for nostalgia and also the book 1984 freaked me out.
All right, Mary, your next question.
Okay. The Disney parks are great, but Walt Disney World is a big place. What else would you plan outside the parks for us to do if we spent the day together?
Let's start with Bachelor number three.
There's an outside of Disney World? No, I'm just kidding. Well, you know what? I'd get to know you. I'd get to know what you like to do. Orlando's a great place. Lots of great things to do. Concerts, art, you know, museums, you know, wine and dine, different festivals, things like that. So plenty to do in Orlando. I'm sure we could find something fun.
Bachelor number one.
Well, I'd probably take you to a fine establishment like Medieval Times or Arabian Nights if it was still around. Unfortunately, it's not, though. Something like that.
And Bachelor number two.
We could head down to downtown Orlando, you know, grab some dinner down there, walk around Lake Eola, and maybe hit up some of the nightlife down there.
All right. And now our final question, of course, will be number...
Wait, Tom, how many questions were there?
Seven.
Seven?
Yeah, seven. All right, Mary, go ahead. Your final question, question seven.
Okay, if we stayed at any Disney resort, what would we do besides go to the park?
All right, let's start with, let's just go back in the regular order. Bachelor one.
Which one, number one?
Yeah, that's you.
I would probably stay at the boardwalk and rent a boat and just kind of go around the lagoons there, hang out all day.
Bachelor.
So wait, was that number one?
That was number one, yeah. Bachelor number two?
I'd have to say Grand Floridian. It's one of the nicest hotels there. And I'd say, you know, hit up Disney Springs, grab dinner there, hang out down at Disney Springs.
All right, and last but not least, number three.
You know what? Maybe hit one of the fine lounges around property. Go out for a nice stroll around some of the great you know, lagoons or something like that. Watch some fireworks. Maybe get some ice cream. Watch a little movie on one of the resort lawns. Be a good night.
All right. Well, that is all seven questions. So, Mary, I want to give you a couple moments to think about. Who exactly you want to pick, Bachelor 1, 2, or 3. But while you're doing that, if I can have some music, we're going to take a quick break for a quick commercial. Is the Disney dating scene getting you down? Well, stop filling your loneliness with Dole Whips and turkey legs. Why not start a love affair with that will last a little longer? Theme Park Connection has Disney memorabilia that you've been searching for your whole life. You can meet the item of your dreams in person at their incredible retail location near the Florida Mall, or if you're a little shy, you can find your match online at themeparkconnection.com. All right. Mary, have you made a decision?
Yes, I have.
All right, Mary, please reveal and please end this horrible game. Please tell us who you would like to go out with.
I choose contestant number two, Ryan.
Number two, Ryan!
Awesome. Yeah, I'm really excited to take you out.
Yay.
So why, Mary, why Ryan?
Because I really liked his answers, and the last one was the best, because Grandpa is my favorite.
Grand Flow, yeah, all the way. Number one, I want to thank Bachelors number one and number three, David and Nick. Thank you very much. You'll be getting fabulous prizes from Theme Park Connection. I don't know.
Looking forward to it.
Me too.
So thank you guys very much. We appreciate it. Hopefully we'll get you guys on a future edition and find you guys a match.
I'm going to be on them to make sure they ship it out in time.
Yes, please.
Yeah, yeah. How long will that take, Tom?
I don't have any answer for that. All right, so Ryan, our bachelor, we want to talk to him. Ryan, say, well, I guess you've said hello to Mary at this point. Nick, this script is horrible, by the way. What am I supposed to do here? I don't even know.
Introduce them. If Mary says
they've already been talking.
Well, now they can talk a little bit
more.
Well,
there you two can talk a little more. But regardless, Mary and Ryan, you're going to be going on a dinner date at Walt Disney World, courtesy of WDWNT. Those of you listening, please stay tuned. We're gonna follow up with them on their date whenever that may happen. Nick already has your contact information. But. Yeah, so just guys, stay on the line for a minute. We'll be talking to you in a second. But congratulations to both of you. We're excited to try this out. Hopefully, we can have a successful date out of this. We're looking forward to see what happens.
Looking forward to it.
All right.
Yay.
All right, Nick, get me out of this. Welcome back to WDW News Tonight. We're still recovering from the dating game.
Yes.
But success, nonetheless.
It was good. I think we found two wonderful people, and we're going to match them up together. Oh, Tom, you know, maybe after the show, you could help me analyze my answer, see where I went wrong.
I don't think I have time for that.
Mm.
Anyway.
That hurts, Tom, a little bit. We're not going to lie.
It's okay, Nick.
Nick,
I still think what needs to happen.
I'm not meant to find a random woman on a radio show.
No, you are. What needs to happen? Here's what we're going to do. Next time we do the dating game, you're going to be the one playing.
Oh, guaranteed. Unless they all run.
We got to find three girls. Nick is a great guy. So those are the female listeners out there. What I want you to do.
Oh, boy.
How do we sign them up? Where should I send them?
Nick@WDWNT.com.
Nick@WDWNT.com.
Should I see them beforehand?
No.
Probably shouldn't.
No,
so send them to Tom.
Love is blind. Nick@WDWNT.com is what you're going to email.
All right, fine.
We're looking for female contestants for the next dating game. We're going to put Nick in the seat where he gets to choose.
They could just fill out the questionnaire we already put out there.
They could, but I got to remember that I don't know the link to hand. But if not, email nick@wdwnt.com if you're interested in playing the next dating game. We're also looking for more male contestants.
I wonder if unplugging the camera for that segment helped or hurt me.
I have no idea. I think she knew who you were anyway. It really mattered. But we also have – so we have a decent pool of people that we didn't get into this game.
We do. We do. Yeah. There were some people that we couldn't get in. We tried to get people in the right age group, but, you know, we didn't want too big of an age gap with anybody. So we do have – I mean, there's no other way to put it. We do have some older, people in the audience who did – email us. It did give us a form. So, yes.
So, any age we're really
works.
Looking for. And we'll do this game more often than every 6 months if we get more people. So, please email Nick or Phil. If you can find the form at WDWNT.com, please
or just,
go ahead and fill that out. If not, email Nick@WDWNT.com if you're interested, and we'll get the form to you at least. But anyone, any age, any interest, guys looking for guys, girls looking for girls looking for girls looking for guys, doesn't matter.
Guys looking for two girls.
We've had no, let's not do that. What was that? But seriously, because we have people in the pool of all orientations, so we need more contestants to do more of them.
And apparently, you know, New York and Minnesota, we got some responses from.
Yeah, so not just locals. Wherever you are, we will gladly, if we get enough people in different regions, we will pair them off and do more of these.
Yes.
So, we'll keep you guys in the pool. Those of you who signed up, we have your application, and we're just waiting to get more. So,
all right, very cool.
And we'll keep doing it. I'll keep sending people on dates. I think this is a fun idea. even if it is somewhat a little bit of a disaster at times. But
it was, it went
but
well.
Nonetheless, I like it. It's a fun idea.
I think I lost on the bang thing. I think she misinterpreted bang. She laughed when I said it.
I definitely think so.
Yeah.
Definitely think so. It could have been worse. You could have talked about people at Boardwalk drinking the water. So, I mean.
It's true.
Anyway. It's now time for the in-depth discussion of the week, brought to you by WDWNT, the app. This week, we're doing Imagineer That. Let me bring on the illustrious panel at this time. First of all, staying on with us, there is Connor Perzicki. Hey, Connor. There's Dustin Foos.
How's it going?
Jason Diffendahl.
Hey, howdy, hey.
And Ron Deanna.
Oh, no.
And suitor number three, who's trying to hook his camera back up. But anyway. All right. So it's Imagineer That. So what we do in Imagineer That is I pitch a project idea. And then this, every panelist is going to have to come up with a project for this task I'm assigning, if you will. And what's going to happen is they're going to give you their full pitch. They're going to go through their project. You at home, whether you're in the chat at listen.wdwnt.com or you want to call in and yell about it at 407-774-8255, are going to place your vote for who you think came up with the best project. I don't know who's won the most. I think I've won one at this point. I forget who won. Other people have won. I don't remember who else. But we are keeping somewhat of a running tally.
I never did.
You haven't won yet. I think Patrick won once also. Yeah.
Yes, he wins. Yeah.
So we're going to see at the end of the year how many people have actually won this. But the project tonight. So we're talking about this rumor, this Wreck-It Ralph attraction for Tomorrowland. And some people said, I like that Stitch's Great Escape is going away. I'm not so sure about this attraction concept, even though I love Wreck-It Ralph. So I sat there and I thought, is there a better attraction idea for Wreck-It Ralph? So that's what I want to find out. We're going to go around. Everyone's going to pitch a project for Wreck-It Ralph. It could be anywhere and anything, as long as it's realistic. Don't come up with some crazy thing that can't possibly exist. But a realistic project idea for anywhere at Walt Disney World. Anywhere at Walt Disney World, this project can be. It doesn't have to be in the spot they're possibly using. So really have fun with this one. Again, just make sure it's something that could possibly really exist in the real world. So Connor, why don't you lead us off?
Okay, so I did go off on my tirade on projections earlier today, but this attraction, I'm actually going to talk about possibly doing projections. So Shanghai Disney opened a little while ago. I don't even remember now. And dude, a certain attraction opened. I'm talking about Pirates of the Caribbean over there. I don't know the official name. I keep forgetting it. But
the Battle for Sunken Treasure.
That's it. All right, so that ride seamlessly integrated projections. I talked about integrating projections well. I think that ride does it very well, and how it goes from the show scenes to the projection scenes very well. Now, I think, of course, those boats are in the water. They're sort of EMVs. But I think that kind of attraction would do well in a Wreck-It Ralph type universe. Think about it. So instead of it being boats, of course, it would be regular roaming vehicles, sort of like the EMV. Not necessarily a Jeep or a time traveler, but, you know, some sort of Wreck-It Ralph themed vehicle. And you'd go through these show scenes. It can be multiple games. You can go through Sugar Rush. You can be on a high-speed chase thing. I don't know. You could jump into the other games. There's a lot of possibilities. The thing with projections, and this is what Universal loves about it, that you can very easily jump around stuff. And because this is a projection-type ride vehicle, that you can actually do things... Sorry, I'm kind of rambling here. I'm totally losing my mind right now. Because it's an animated movie, projections would befit it well, as opposed to doing show scenes, because that would look a little weird with giant Wreck-It Ralph animatronic, which I would love, but I don't know if it would look too cool.
Okay. Dustin, what do you think?
All right, so I kind of went into reality with this and realizing that Wreck-It Ralph itself is such a unique style of IP that we could easily just re-theme another one of the attractions that are currently in Walt Disney World.
Tower of Terror.
You know what? You are closer than you think with this. I would actually suggest re-theming Rock and Roller Coaster.
Wait, what?
Sugar Rush Dark Ride.
What attraction was that?
I don't know. It's been in the news recently, but I think that when we're looking at it, Rock and Roller Coaster itself is on the chopping block because of the Aerosmith mentality that they've kind of reached the end of that agreement. There's been talk so often, every couple of years, there's a new Disney Channel star that they want to re-theme Rock and Roller Coaster to, be it the Jonas Brothers, Miley Cyrus, whoever it is. I think if we were to really put this into perspective, Sugar Rush itself could be an epic roller coaster. It's set up perfectly for a dark ride, and there is nothing better than a dark ride that sends you 0 to 60 in 2.8 seconds.
Someone in the chat just said, but they just spent $100 to add that finger.
That is kind of funny. I'll give them credit.
They have
for,
the same budget, you know, as WDWNT, the dating game. I just want that to go on the record.
The easy answer would have been re-theming the Tomorrowland Speedway. And then just basically moving the entrance that way it's no longer in Tomorrowland and putting it over into Fantasyland. But I think that that's too much of a re-theme. And I think that the fact that it is an IP that has staying power, that they could go through a number of different, future movies and then using the original to really create that epic dark ride, which... You know, you can't go wrong with something like that in a rock and roller coaster mentality. Just imagine what you could do with that. That would just be so cool.
All right. Jason. Oh, you're muted.
Oh, I'm sorry. There we go. I thought this would be the most challenging task if I actually did restrict myself to doing it in the... Alien Encounter / Stitch's Great Escape ride area.
It's a pretty confined space.
It is. So here's what I thought. What does Ralph like to do?
Wreck it.
He likes to wreck it. What would you and I like to do to Stitch's Great Escape?
Wreck it.
Yes. So my idea is that everyone that comes through the line can hand a hammer... And you can walk through the attraction and wreck it as much as you want. Now, you'd have to keep walking. We might have to install, like, a people mover belt system to make sure that...
A Goodyear speed ramp.
Wreck too much. Yes, a speed ramp. Because there needs to be enough left to wreck for the later customers. But I think that would be a great layover. It would probably, you know, you could probably get about 6 months of use out of that idea before the entire place was wrecked. And then look at all the money you'd save not having to bring in bulldozers and workmen to tear it out.
So you could have, like, different levels of hammer. So, like, you have the original one, but if you do a Fast Pass Plus, you can get a bigger hammer.
You get a bigger hammer? Sure.
That would just be hilarious.
Do you have a legitimate concept?
Are you calling that illegitimate?
All right, fine. I'll move on. Ron!
Oh, I had a couple ideas. The first one was kind of similar to that. It's still keeping the VR in the same place, but you put on the VR goggles and you're wearing Hulk hands to be Ralph, and you're being hired by Bob Chapek to wreck Epcot. My serious idea is actually using the Speedway space and promoting it as the Sugar Rush Speedway. You get in the cars and you go off on a normal race. But then the bugs attack and the cars suddenly switch from you driving them to being trackless ride vehicles and having to go through show scenes going from all the Ralph-created video games as you're trying to track down one of the cyber bugs. So you have a bunch of small trackless ride vehicles like...
So are we still using the Speedway track?
It starts off like you're looking at the Speedway track, but it goes into a building, and then they become... trackless vehicles, and then they go on the show scenes between all the rides.
Huh.
That's enough space to have something like that, and it still looks like you have a speedway the kids can drive for about 3 or 4 seconds before the ride takes over.
Okay. Nick?
All right, I am going to start you off in a wonderful queue line inside Game Central Station. And maybe, I don't know if this will work. It kind of works, kind of does it in some places. But in the queue, you'll have some video games that you could play as you're waiting, some kind of different games to play in the queue line. And the whole point here is you're going to get in your vehicle and go visit Niceland. Okay, so you take your vehicle, you get over, and you go down through the circuits, and you get over to Niceland. And in there, it's going to be a nice little slow ride through there. You see the Nicelanders Hotel and the big screen up top on the ceiling with, like, you know, kids looking down playing the video game right on top of you. Maybe a mixture of screens and animatronics there. It's kind of a quick scene. But then something goes wrong when you try to return to Game Central Station. At this point, your vehicle can go to one of two different rooms to make a little re-ride ability here. You can either go off into Heroes Duty or you can go off into Sugar Rush. If you go off into Heroes Duty, and I'm thinking maybe even two kind of cars at a time, side by side, so they both kind of go off into there at the same time. And then you enter an adventure where the bugs are attacking you. And I don't think it's a thing because of my other part of this where you're getting to go to Sugar Rush too. I don't think you're going to be able to take control of anything, but I can see maybe your vehicle getting attacked and maybe your vehicle like shooting back and just kind of like randomized. One of the vehicle ends up with a high score at the end of the thing, and then you return to Game Central Station. Kind of the same thing if you go over to Sugar Rush two at a time and you're both racing side by side, kind of Radiator Springs Racer style, kind of around the Sugar Rush track. And you know, they could even randomize each of those experiences individually, so not only do you get to go into a different room each time you ride, possibly you could have randomized experiences within the room, and then each time you return to the Game Central Station.
All right, I decided that Hollywood Studios needs another themed land after Toy Story and Star Wars. So where the animation courtyard stands today, I'm going to put a Wreck-It Ralph themed land. The interesting thing is it's going to be indoors. So what's going to happen is where the I can't believe I'm doing this to Hollywood Studios, but it's going to happen, so I'd rather have control over it. where the animation archway is now, instead of the archway being there, there's going to be a giant electrical socket. And you are going to walk in through this giant electrical, because it'll kind of look like the arch, it'll have the openings. So you walk in through the socket, and you're in what is it called again?
It's Game Central Station.
Game Central Station. I almost said Grand Central Station. I was like, no, that's New York. So you're in Game Central Station. So the cool part here is you can access all this stuff. It'll be indoors, and we'll project stuff on the ceiling it'll look just like it does in the movie. And you'll have all those different doorways, and a couple of them won't be real. A couple of them will just put big screens in there, and it'll look like stuff's happening. But the cool thing is a couple of them will go places. Number one, we're going to add a counter service. Since they won't do the Tower of Terror themed bar, I'm going to put a themed bar in. The themed bar is going to be Tapper. We're going to have the Tapper bar for people to go have drinks at. So then we're going to have another doorway you can go in. It's actually going to go outside. So it'll go, you'll travel through the long passage, which is supposed to be the cord to the game, and you'll go to Sugar Rush. And in Sugar Rush, we're going to put a Speedway-style kids driving ride. Just to add a little more capacity for kids something to do, because the other ride I have is probably gonna have some sort of height requirement. So we gotta have something for the kids to do. I think a Sugar Rush little driving thing would be fun. We could put an ice cream shop out there where kids can build a sundae, and we can reutilize that wonderful thing the Cruise Line has, the Vanellope car, and we could use all those fun design things they did for Vanellope's out there on the Cruise Line and everything. The other portal that you're actually gonna be able to go through is gonna be Heroes Duty. But you're not going to get to Heroes Duty to begin with. So the queue will be in the terminal. There'll be like an offset room, and we'll even have them, like, maybe they'll go through if you remember the beginning of the movie, Ralph goes to the villains meeting.
Yes.
So maybe at one point in the queue, you'll go through that room while they're in the middle of the meeting and stuff like that. You'll go through different parts of Grand Game Central Station, and you'll get to the loading platform is going to be at the portal, because in the movie, if you remember, to get to the game, they sit on this transport thing that rides an electrical surge out to the game. So you're going to ride that out to the game. It's going to be a roller coaster type vehicle, and you'll get to Heroes Duty, and something will go wrong in Heroes Duty, and you'll go to Sugar Rush, and you'll go to Ralph's home. You'll end probably, I would like to end in Niceland. I would like to end in the Wreck-It Ralph game, and you pass by the apartment and they're celebrating. But a roller coaster type attraction where you're in that surge vehicle the whole time, And it could follow the story from the movie, of course, or it could be a completely original thing, although it's going to end up being very similar. There's only, again, we don't know the premise of the second movie, so we only have so much to work with. Obviously, with the second movie script in front of me, I'd have a lot more to work with. But I think the three games would be good enough for a roller coaster type ride through some dark ride scenes and have some portions. You could have some more thrilling portions as you go between the games through the electrical current. You could have drops and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I think it covers all the bases. It's a little more counter service dining for the park, which it needs in an area that doesn't have any. It's a kiddie ride, which they need another one, and another e-ticket, and it's a franchise they like a lot. And it's animated, so we keep animation in the park. So that's my idea.
Very good.
All right, so now we opened it to the chat. Chat, go ahead and vote. Also, if you want to comment on anyone's project, the phone line is open at 407-774-8255. Give everybody a couple minutes to talk about it. Panel, if you had to pick anyone's project that wasn't your own, who you pick?
Well, I think that when you're looking at it, there are a couple that did re-themes. I think that the fact that we are like looking at a space as huge as the Tomorrowland Speedway, that's just aching for new blood. I also think that, Tom, you have a really good idea when it comes to reusing Animation Courtyard. The issue is that I don't think that with a park that's costing that much, with Star Wars, with Toy Story, that they're going to put something in that's going to be that dramatic of a cost. I would love to see every single one of these properties, every Disney attraction or Disney property that is awesome. I would love to see that in the parks. I want to see a Robin Hood attraction. I want to see all these classic attractions. I'm just looking at, you know, what the track record is. And I think that an overlay is going to be a little bit more realistic than something brand new.
Wrestling. I think I like Dustin's.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. If I had to pick one of those, yeah, I like that. Tom went overboard with a land. I'm discounting that. The land's...
Why is that overboard?
Land. He didn't tell us we could do a land.
I said, do whatever you want, as long as it was realistic.
I think Dustin's would be fun.
I don't think it's going to be... I think you could do something good in that small space with a different type of VR, not, you know, putting the goggles on, because I've, you know, played with a couple of the different VR systems that are coming out, and they're uncomfortable. They don't always work with glasses. They take too long to adjust. I think doing, like, little pods that have, like, this, you know, a private screen that closes over, so you have kind of that kind of projection view could work in there. And I think I mentioned it before on other things we pitched, but, you know, there used to be these BattleTech arenas where there were, you know, you got in a little cockpit, you got your mech, and you would fight. I think if you did that with the Sugar Rush cars, you could do almost any of these ideas we've talked about in the kind of virtual world and give you some control and still have ways of, you know, having characters interact and lead you on a kind of at least a certain plot of a story with some interactivity there.
All right.
I definitely think that, like, when you're looking at it though, Ron, your idea was brilliant. I see it more as a really great meld between something like the Haunted Mansion Doom Buggy. So you get into a spot and you can have that dome come in and give you that full interaction. The issue right now, though, is that VR was great. And I think you said it when it first came out. You know, we're looking at back in the you know, 90s when Aladdin's Magic Carpet went into Disney Quest. So I could just see something a little bit more virtual reality, but like actual, like putting yourself into an attraction.
Well, the votes are in, and Nick, while you did not win at the dating game, you did win. You did, in fact, win tonight with the most votes. You edged out Jason by one.
Thank you, everyone.
I can't believe Jason. What a bunch of smartasses I have in my audience, as usual, that Jason came in second. But, Nick, congratulations.
You won
this round. You finally won a round of Imagineer.
I appreciate it, everyone out there in the chat. Thank you for believing in me.
Illustrious panel, thank you as always. We'll see you all next week. But Nick,
I think they felt sorry for me because I lost the dating game and then we begged for
contestants. Maybe, yeah. That's very sweet, audience. We appreciate it. But, Nick, we need to not be sweet. We need to know who hates me now.
Oh, Tom, there's definitely people that hate you. I hate you. All right, we're going to start off with Dave on the Pirates of the Caribbean replacing Peter Pan in Fantasmic. This is never going to happen. No scenes in Fantasmic are ever all in caps being changed. Peter Pan is never going anywhere, and neither is the crocodile. I think this is another Dave. It may be the same Dave. I don't know. I think this is another Dave, though, on the Pirates, same thing. He said, the site makes up rumors to get attention and should be closed down. All internet rumors should be censored by the government and people should be arrested for posting rumors.
Wow.
The site also has no inside info and no one has inside info. Fantasmic is never changing and Peter Pan is never leaving. A lot of people chiming in on this. You had a rough week, Tom. I'm just going to say it. Tom wrote in, or Chuck wrote in, hey, Tom, do you proofread your stories before posting them? You know what? Spell checking is not proofreading. Warren wrote in, spell check, grammar check, proofread. Are we really so desperate for a scoop that we can't fully proof before publishing?
In fairness, I rushed on mobile to post that Magic Band story, and there was a lot of mistakes in it.
Consider taking a writing course as well.
Yeah, I promise I took 4 years of them. That's the issue.
Jackie wrote in, you know, this was funny because she wrote a comment about your spelling errors, and someone wrote in, don't you read these types of blogs? They always have spelling errors. And she wrote in, no, I'm not new to reading blogs. I read a lot of other Disney blogs, which don't have errors. Guess when you're in a hurry to post so much, you don't have time to proofread. Not my blog, so I don't care. Then Jeff actually defended you. Jeff wrote into Jackie. Jackie, are you new to reading Disney blogs? They're not books. We kind of don't worry about small mistakes. So there you go, Tom. You can make small mistakes, and Jeff has your back. Let's see. On the Tiffin's lunch menu story, Kenneth wrote in, if you think $28 for lunch is affordable, then you must be part of the 1%. That's the trouble with all of the parks. Disney has priced themselves out of the market for all but the 1%. There you go. Nick, not me. This was not me. Nick wrote in on one of your photo reports. Another photo report heavily skewed towards stuff to buy in the gift shops. Out of 28 total pictures, there are 21 featuring gift shop items. That's 75%. Looks like Tom Israeli should be working for the Disney merchandising department. There has to be more happening to report on than gift shop restocking.
Not when you go to each park once a week. Generally, you've covered everything.
And then we'll end on this note, Tom. This is on your Wreck-It Ralph virtual reality attraction post, yeah. And you actually ended the post with a little joke about Sugar Rush.
I did.
And getting ice cream. And so Jesse wrote in, at first I was excited for a Wreck-It Ralph attraction, but now I just want a Plaza ice cream sundae. That's what we have for I Hate Tom this week.
Since we have a little bit of time, I want to plug some stuff real quick. I apologize for the spelling errors. I probably should take my time, and we're working on it. I actually had to take a class with some of my staff this week about SEO training and proofreading and all that stuff. So things are getting serious around here. YouTube. YouTube is a wonderful thing. We're going to be using YouTube a lot more. This WDW News Tonight was a big experiment on YouTube, and it's been successful so far. We are going to play with the way the show works probably in the next couple weeks, though. We're looking into alternatives and other ways to make this stream a lot clearer, to make things maybe when you actually hear me speaking, my mouth will line up with what I'm saying, stuff like that.
Little things like that.
You may see some stuff like that change in the next couple weeks. We're going to play around with things. Beyond that, on YouTube, we're doing a lot of new original programming. We're trying some things. I basically took a photo report and turned it into a video, and I talk and give insight. And obviously, I can say a little more than I can by typing in that. So we tried that out. So watch it. Let us know what you think if you like that idea. Also, again, we're still rolling through with the Hollywood Studios video updates. I'm going to try and do those now once a week, whatever's new going on in the expansion of that park. But we may do those for every park once a week. So please let us know if you like that idea, if it's something you'd watch. Please, again, let us know. The other thing new on there is WDWNT 360, which I haven't even posted about yet, but it's there. The first video is Splash Mountain. These are 360-degree videos. You can watch them on YouTube, and you can spin using your cursor. You can spin around and look all different directions. If you have a VR headset or the Google, I forget what that thing is called.
Glass? Not Google Glass.
There's that box thing that fits over your phone thing. You can actually watch them kind of in a VR way, which is really, really neat. This is something new we're trying out. We think it's pretty cool, and you're going to see a lot more of those coming up. As well. So we're excited about that. And yeah, so a lot of new YouTube stuff is going to be coming your way the next couple of weeks. So we're really ramping up our YouTube operations. At least one video a day is the plan as of right now. So make sure you subscribe on YouTube if you have not already.
All right. Very cool.
This is not the end.
That is not. Man, we are not doing so well. How about that? You like that a little better?
Sure.
You like that a little better?
Yeah. Like also, Radio Free Disneyland is coming. I can't say anything more, but check out the post.
It's a cool post. Definitely check it out. That's going to be fun.
Well, Nick, I got to find the last line. And remember, kids.
I think it's just a hand signal.
No.
Oh.
No. I have a hand signal for you after we go off the air. And remember, kids, wait a minute. How about some backstage passes?